Hi, good vach. This is Yisachar Wartel and Chodesh Tov. We are now in the month of Shvat, and that means Tu B'Shvat is right around the corner. That's right, it's this Monday. So again, this is Yisachar Wartel. We are up to Parashat B'Shalach. And of course, I need to mention the sponsor. It is sponsored by Eloi Nishmat Chaya Rachel Bat David Tzvi. If you would like to sponsor in memory of a loved one or for any other reason, please let us know. All right, let us get started. Rabbi Yisachar Franz, another Yisachar, much more a prominent one. Rabbi Franz been putting out the Torah for much, much longer than I have. He's amazing gadol. He said in his 5768 Tvar, he asked the question, what's the connection between Tu B'Shvat and Parshat B'Shalach, something which we see many people trying to do on Torah anytime now? It's actually many, many things. But what he specifically does is he cites the book, Ziv HaMinhagim, that when one looks outside this time of year, even in most parts of Eretz Yisrael, the trees do not look lush. They are not blossoming. And in fact, they look dead. It's only inside that the sap is moving. But they look like they're not growing. They look in the dead of winter. Now, most trees in Eretz Yisrael, and certainly in the U.S., begin to blossom in Adar and Nisan. So why specifically do we celebrate the New Year for trees now in Shvat? So he answers that even though they look dead, Chazal explained that they're in fact very much alive. And this is precisely the time of the year when the sap flows heavily within a tree. It's also the time that actually apparently people go to Vermont to get their syrup, because it's when the sap really starts flowing thickly in the tree. So another person who comments on this is Revitin Aviva Orlean. She explains that the winter is actually the most important time for the tree. It's when the roots are able to take in nutrients and the tree prepares itself. It gets itself ready for the blooms and the overall growth. It's kind of like the pre-growth. She quotes numerous sources that liken a tree to a human being, something which Rabbi Zev Left does and something that so many Rebbeim and countless commentaries do. Winter is the gestation period, she explains. We do not see the children yet, right, the fruit, even the flowers, but everything needed for them to emerge is happening at this time. Bnei Israel did not see the fruits of their labor. They only saw slavery and misery. They could not see how their quote-unquote dead circumstances was actually very much alive and ready to erupt in a flurry of miracles. Nisim in the flows. Osos and Moftim. In the beginning of this week's parsha, the Jewish people leave Mitzrayim and head out to the Midbar, and they appear to be trapped. So Rabbi Tenorlian explains that when Bnei Israel felt most trapped, when the dangerous wilderness in front of them and a raging sea to the side, the Egyptian army at their back, that was actually the true blessing. How so? Bnei Israel did not know what Hashem wanted, and they had to pray to get away from the Egyptians. But Hashem orchestrated what was best for them was actually precisely to have the Egyptians chase them and not just rely on prayer, but to actually go forth into the Yom Suf. So Bnei Israel could witness countless miracles by the Kriyas Yom Suf, by the splitting of the sea, where they were able to see the Mitzrim who tormented them for decades and decades and decades and probably killed people they knew and loved ones. They saw them drown. They finally got their vengeance, and they saw that Hashem cared for them. He gave them their wealth. And he put an end to their suffering and took them out as a nation and brought them ultimately forward, you know, and more gifts, and especially the Torah. So the Midrash teaches that ultimately this started through Nachshon ben Aminadav. Now, he didn't know what was going to happen, supposedly, according to the Midrash, but he trusted in Hashem that all would be for the best. He didn't know that the sea was going to split if he went into his neck or his nostrils, but he knew that Hashem would not put them in this type of circumstance without having something to do with it. So he knew something would happen, whether it was the sea splitting, whether it would be the sea disappearing, whether it would be everybody automatically be transported somewhere else. He didn't necessarily know. But he knew that something was going to happen and that Hashem was going to help them. He had all the trust. He had all the emuna, right? It's actually a lot to do with emuna in this week's parsha, right? He knew that everything would be for the best, and he went to the Yom Suf. And only then, when displaying the true bitachon, again, not right now getting into the nuances between bitachon and emuna, they both mean faith and trust, but there's a slight nuanced difference. But only then did the Yom Suf split. Now, getting back to Rabbi Franz, Rabbi Franz also teaches that immediately after Kriyas Yom Suf, when Bnei Yisrael was complaining about the lack of water and displaying a lack of bitachon in Hashem, Hashem commanded Moshe to throw a branch into the water, which symbolized eight, the lesson of the tree, or one of many lessons of a tree. He writes, quotes his words, "The tree is the symbol that when all looks futile and bleak, desolate and destroyed, we see that the situation can turn around, and rebirth happens. There can be renaissance and renewal. Throwing the tree into the water was meant as a message to the people. Don't give up. Don't worry about the desert. Things look bleak now, but the salvation of God comes in the blink of an eye." And that's absolutely true. I mean, we don't know when Mashiach is coming, hopefully speedily in our days, but our personal Mashiach. I actually heard an amazing thing by, I think it was Rav Yisrael Shore, something that I actually never thought about before, and it actually gives me very much a lot of meaning now to, and this is just a couple of days ago, gives me meaning now to when I give say the Shemoneh Esrei. So when we say Berachat Hashem Goel Yisrael in the Shemoneh Esrei, it's not just redeem us for Mashiach, because we talk about Mashiach all the time, we think about Mashiach all the time, sometimes it's hard to relate to. But we all have trying circumstances that we want Hashem to redeem us from. We all have our own personal galus. That's what he explains. Everybody has their own personal galus that they're dealing with, some obviously much more severe than others. So when we're praying for Goel Yisrael, we're not only praying for the ultimate redemption, which is Mashiach, but we're praying for our own personal redemptions, for us, our loved ones, our friends, our family, etc., community, whatever it might be, Jewish people as a whole, you know, in a certain circumstance. So we have to pray for that. And sometimes things don't come right away. Sometimes they do come right away. Sometimes they come in the blink of an eye. But sometimes they're prepared for a very long and dark winter. Things can happen in a way that we clearly don't understand, and we'll only understand in retrospect, largely when Mashiach comes. But some of us will be fortunate enough to see some hints of it in our lifetime. And a lot of times we were going through things either on a personal level or a national level. We are going through this cold and dark winter where we have much suffering and we don't really understand what's going on. Or it might not be terrible, but it might be dark and it might be cold, so we may not be comfortable. It may not be, you know, miserable, but it's certainly not what we'd like it to be. And a lot of times Hashem is helping us grow or helping us put into circumstances or finding a way that it's actually going to prepare us to be able to blossom and to be able to grow and to bear fruit in every sense of the word. Not just literally, but figuratively, metaphorically, whatever you want to call it, with bear fruits and be fortuitous in our endeavors. I didn't say fortuitous, not fruituitous, but no, fruituitous is interesting too. The words actually might be related, fortune and fruit, but I don't believe so. But basically, Hashem is helping us prepare the way and prepare ourselves and prepare us individually, communally, and as a nation through this quote-unquote winter and the difficult galuses and exiles and difficulties that we have. And everything is really preparing us for when the seeds will germinate, not only to the point where we have like a sprout, but we're actually able to see the flowers bloom much more than the initial stalk, much more than the bark, much more than the leaves. But we see the flowers bloom, and we see the flowers turn into and yield fruit that is sweet and then can yield the next generation, and our growth can lead to more growth, and the beauty that Hashem gives us can lead to more and more beauty. That's part of what one of the main take-home messages of Tu B'Shvat that we have coming up this Monday, I believe Sunday night. So we have many, many lessons in Emunah and Bitachon in this week's Parsha, whether it's by the Kriyas Yom Suf, whether it's by the Man, whether it's by the water, and many things like that. And unfortunately, Bnei Israel didn't always live up to the task, but Hashem is telling us we need to have Bitachon, we need to have Emunah. We need to be able to have faith that what Hashem is doing is part of a big plan and that it's helping us grow and develop, and everything is needed to occur, will occur when the time comes. Perhaps, as Rabbi Fran said, in the blink of an eye. We don't know, but we have to have faith, and the Torah is teaching us, and it's no coincidence that Parshat B'Shalach is often in the proximity of Tu B'Shvat, because we have the opportunity to have faith and bitachon, emunah and bitachon, that things will work out, even when things seem dark and cold, but ultimately can bloom and blossom into beautiful, sweet, and amazing things. Wishing you all a Shabbat Shalom and a Tu B'Shvat Sameach.